Thank you, Laura. And would you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be preaching exclusively about probate law. That's correct. Probate law, the field of law that has to do with inheritance and the distribution of property upon a person's death. Perhaps you are wondering, what have we done to deserve this? We came to church in the summer. Perhaps you are thinking, probate law is famously boring. Nay, famously boring? Nay, famously fascinating. Most murder mysteries begin over a problem of probate law. Probate law, boring? Sherlock Holmes would beg to differ. Boring? Miss Marple would beg to differ. Nancy Drew, in the first book of that iconic detective's 175 book run entitled The Secret of the Old Clock, which had to do with probate law, Nancy Drew would beg to differ. Probate law is famously intriguing because it fundamentally concerns the question, when the world is about to change, who stands to benefit? The story, it's called The Daughters of Zelophehad, and there are five of them, five sisters named Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, and their father has died, and the death of their father triggers probate law. That's right. Under that law at that time, only daughters could not inherit. Only sons could inherit. And Zelophehad had no sons, no male heirs. And so that meant that the people who would inherit were Zelophehad's brothers, the shady uncles. In any murder mystery, do not sleep on the shady uncles. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were about to lose everything, be left with nothing, no even connection to their clan anymore. So what did they do? They stood together. They all had the same thing to lose. They all had everything to gain. They stood together and pleaded their case, and they succeeded beyond all expectation. It is difficult to overstate how successful they were. First off, they got everything they asked for. They asked to inherit, and they got that. Take that, shady uncles. But that's not all. They established a legal precedent that held force in all future probate cases so that daughters could inherit. That's even referenced as settled case law, sort of going into the intricacies of what this now means for other similar cases. That's in Numbers chapter 32. They succeed so completely, it makes a fellow wonder, how did they do that? How did they do that? Well, they did it with three things. They picked the right time, they made a smart argument, and they brought their action to the one who had power to make a decision. I'll do that in order. First, they picked the right time. When this story occurs is very important. When this story occurs is just after the second census of the people of Israel in the book of Numbers. Numbers is called Numbers because it begins with a census, with a counting, with a numbering of all of the people of Israel. It starts with a census, that's why it's called Numbers, and it ends also with a census. But why take a second census? I understand why you take the first one. You're about to be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You need to understand how much supplies you need, how much water, how much food. I understand why you count when you're going into the wilderness. Why do you count when you're about to leave? Is it just to see how well you've done? No, it's actually because the people were about to return to their ancestors' lands, the lands of Abraham and Sarah and Joseph, and when they returned home, the wealth of all the nation that was being held in common in this camp, the wealth of the nation was to be divided up. How is it going to be divided up? Family by family by family. It was about to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. The daughters of Zelophehad bring forward their plea at the perfect moment. It's after their father has died, but before decisions would have to be made on dividing up the nation's wealth. Their father had died some time before, during the wilderness wanderings, but they didn't come forward with their plea right away. They waited. They waited until the moment of highest possible leverage. That brings us to the second point. Okay, they picked the right moment, but what did they say? What argument did they make? They said, if we don't inherit, our father's name will disappear from the clan. That is, our family will cease to exist. Why does that matter so much? Why is that a smart argument? It matters because of the reason why the nation's wealth was being divided up the way that it was. It was being divided up family by family by family because they were trying to keep every family a part of the people. They wanted to reward a family for having stayed together because, let's say when the wanderings began, there were 1,001 families. At the end, it was to be divided up 1,001 ways. The idea was to keep families from disappearing. Because being lost in the wilderness for 40 years has every chance that people would fall apart, drift apart, be ripped apart. Family by family by family, drifting off at the edges one by one until perhaps at the end the people weren't a people at all anymore. It was the leader's job to stop that from happening. It was their job to keep the family together. It was their job to make sure that families didn't disappear. So when the daughters of Zelophehad say, if we don't inherit, our father's name will disappear, they're saying to the leaders, your whole job is to keep the people together, to keep families from disappearing. Do your job and fix that. This is why this becomes a precedent as well, this whole only males can inherit business. It was in direct conflict with the fundamental purpose of inheritance law at that time. The daughters of Zelophehad, they understood the interests of the people who they were appealing to, and they made an argument that was based around their interests. This is in your interest to do, leadership. It's kind of your whole job. They make a smart argument. That brings us to the last part. Bringing this plea to the one with power to give them relief. The daughters of Zelophehad, it wasn't just some leader or other. At some time or other that they brought this plea, it was Moses and the chief priests in front of all the leaders at an assembly of the entire people. On one hand, that's pretty awkward. It's a pretty awkward place to make an argument like that because you know who everybody includes? The shady uncles. They're about to lose a substantial portion of their inheritance. They're standing right there. But Moses and the high priest together, they represent all the earthly decision-making power there was. And Moses and the high priest, they're in a tough spot. They're in public. They're at the exact wrong or right moment, depending on your perspective. They're having an argument that cuts directly to their interests as a leader, whether they're doing their job or not, in front of everybody for whom whether they're doing a good job rather matters. And Moses, with this enormous question in front of him, says, I'll be right back, just give me a minute. Goes into the tent of meeting and discusses this directly with God. God tells Moses, and I quote, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. They got a ruling from God Almighty. And this, friends, this is the last thing we have to remember about this story, that it is God who grants them this total victory. Yes, the daughters of Zelophehad have handled their part of this exceptionally well, exceptionally bravely, with exceptional cunning. That's true. They rightly ask to have a share of the inheritance of their family, which they receive. God takes this and expands it to all time and for all people and amends the holy law itself. Remember when I said that their efforts succeeded beyond all expectation? Perhaps you felt I was exaggerating. Let's recap. They get to inherit everything, and the uncles lose out. They set a binding precedent that would help other people just like them going forward, and they improved upon the justice of God's own laws, a claim that would normally be pretty difficult to back up, except that it was God who said so. They succeeded beyond all reason. It's a when, not if. When you see a wrong that needs righting in the world, and it is there in front of you, and it has to do with you and those like you, and it is right there in front of you, and you are confronted with the question of, what am I going to do? Take a page from the daughters of Zelophehad. Stand together with those who are in the same boat. Choose the right time to take action. Make a smart case that shows that you understand the interests of those who are in power. Bring it to those who have the power to grant relief. And know that it is God, ultimately. It is by placing things into the hands of God that we might succeed, not only in what we hope, but in a hope greater than we even formulate at the start. Pick the right time, make a smart case, go to the right people, trust in God for the victory. When you see a wrong that needs righting, just open up your Bibles. Numbers chapter 27. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah, they wrote the playbook. Now all we have to do is follow it. Thanks be to God. Amen.